yeah, cause he's intentional. Never failing. I know that all things are working for my good. Yeah, cause he's intentional. Never failing. All things are working
for my good.
Cause he's intentional.
He's intentional.
Hey, and he's never failing.
Never failing.
All things are working for my good.
Praise God, and welcome to Eve's Corner. Eve's Corner is a show of enlightenment, empowerment, encouragement, and we hope that with some engagement on today, that God will bless you real good. We thank you for joining. I am Prophetess Amina Campbell, and I am recording from Jackson, Mississippi on today. Our message for today is lion proof, peace in the face of your enemy. Now, we all have some kind of enemy, and even if you don't recognize who they are, who the individuals are, know that you have a real enemy, which is Satan. The Bible says he is an accuser of the brethren, and he spends a whole lot of time accusing you of things to God because he doesn't like your relationship with God. So we're going to talk today about being lion proof. I want to first say welcome to those of you who are listening for the first time. I appreciate you giving us some time today. And then for those who are my regular listeners and my regular followers, I want to say welcome back. I appreciate you. To those who have made donations to Campbell Ministries, we definitely appreciate you. And we pray that God will continue to multiply you 30, 60, and 100 fold. And then I want to say to those who may kind of listen here and there, you may not have time to listen on the actual date of the live shows, which is normally on Saturdays. By chance, if you do have access to the internet, you can check the show and go back to some of the archive shows that you might have missed in the past. Going back, which is now almost 2 years, you know, there may be specific topics, there may have been specific guests, you know, so you don't have to miss out on the message if you are not able to listen on those specific days. You can definitely go back to the website, which is CampbellMinistries.com, so that you can pick up the archive shows. Don't want you to miss anything. So before we get ready to get started, we definitely want to have a word of prayer. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. So first and foremost, let us go to God in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you now, God, for our many blessings. God, we thank you for watching over us, and God, we thank you for keeping us. God, we thank you because you are a sovereign God, and no matter what it is, Lord, that we are dealing with, we know that you are intentional. We know, God, that all things are working together for our good because we are the called and the chosen of God, according to Romans 8 and 28. We thank you, God, because no matter what we are facing in our lives, God, we know that we can depend upon the word of God. And your word says in all our getting to get an understanding. So, God, we want to have more of an understanding of who you are, God, of your will and of your ways, God, because of the understanding that you have allowed us to gain. God, we understand, God, that no weapon that is formed against us will prosper. Every tongue that rises against us in judgment, God, you will condemn. We thank you, God, that because of the word and our understanding of your word, God, we know that we are healed in our minds, in our bodies. We know, God, that because of your word, we are blessed and we are highly favored. We know, God, because we have an understanding of your word, we can profess it, we can declare it, and we can decree it in the name of Jesus. We say that it is so in the name of Jesus. Everything, God, that you've promised us, we say that it is so. We receive it, God, in the name of Jesus. God, we pray now that you bless everyone that is connected to this ministry. We pray, God, that you will continue, God, to make them fruitful, God. Continue to make them prosperous. Continue to touch, heal, and deliver. Continue, God, to move in their lives in the name of Jesus. God, bless them in a mighty way. God, give them supernatural favor. God, give them unmerited grace and mercy in the name of Jesus. God, we glorify you and we praise you now because you are a true and living God. We glorify you and we praise you, God, because you are faithful, Lord, even when we are not. God, we ask you to forgive us for everything that we've said or done that's not like you. And God, we ask you to forgive us for our sins of omission. Forgive us, God, for the things that we should have done that we didn't do. Forgive us, God, for the places that we should have gone and we didn't go. Forgive us, God, for not being attentive to your people, God, as your word says that we should do. God, continue to restore us. God, continue to build us up where we're torn down. God, continue to wash us and make us whole in you. God, we thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you, God, for salvation. We thank you, God, for the opportunity just to get it right with you. God, we thank you now. We pray that this word come forth with clarity and understanding. In Jesus' name, we count it done by faith. Amen. So on today, we're going to be over in the book of Daniel, the 6th chapter. Now, pause for just a moment to allow you to get over to the book of Daniel. We've heard a lot of great things about Daniel, and we're going to talk about one of the most popular stories on Daniel. Again, we're in Daniel, the 6th chapter. I'll give you some time to get your sword. The Bible says that the word of God is a two-edged sword. So remember now, when you're reading the word, it doesn't just apply to everybody else. Because it's two-edged, remember, it cuts you first. Again, that's Daniel, the 6th chapter. We want to take this word and apply it to our lives. On today, Daniel 6th chapter, we're going to begin at the 3rd verse. We're talking today, if you're just joining us, about being lion-proof. About having peace in the face of your enemies. So the Bible reads, Daniel 6, chapter 3, verse. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps. Now satraps are like governors. By his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king shall issue an edict," which is a rule which is set by government, "and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, Your Majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem three times a day. He got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except to you, Your Majesty, will be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." Verse 13 said, "Then they said to the king, 'Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, Your Majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day.'" When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. The word of the Lord is already blessed. Now, we've read verses 3 through 14 in the book of Daniel. Just like Daniel, we all have some lions. We all have some enemies. Lions for us would be some things that we're nervous about. Of course, most of us don't have to deal with any natural lions, but we do have some spiritual lions. Lions are some things that threaten to take us out. Lions are some things that have taken other folks out before, but God has continued to spare you. Lions are things that can threaten to even kill us, whether it's a physical death or a spiritual death or an emotional death. Lions are some situations where you can't see your way out. Lions may be situations when everybody around you doesn't expect you to make it out. Situations where you have absolutely no choice but to trust God. Lions can be situations that you're in, and it may not even be your fault that you're in it. But there is an enemy that has accused you, and maybe somebody in authority could have helped you out, but they didn't, just like King Darius. Lions are some situations where people are watching you to see how you're going to manage this. Because a lot of times when folks feel like you have problems, they sit back and watch. Now, what is she going to do now? Now, what is he going to do about this? And they're sitting back laughing and waiting on your demise. Lions are some situations that you're in because somebody was mad or somebody was jealous because of your anointing. Somebody was jealous because you're getting ready to get promoted. Somebody was jealous because you're being elevated. Somebody was jealous because you're getting a pay raise. Somebody was jealous just because you do your job well. Somebody was jealous because God is using you and they just didn't like the attention that you're getting. So there may be a threat of termination or elimination or separation. But God wants you to be lion-proof today. So, in the book of Daniel, what we find is that Daniel, who was a man of God, a man who obviously trusts God, had to deal with some lions. He already was dealing with some enemies. But here it is. He had to deal with some lions. So now, first of all, just talking about the book of Daniel, looking at a history on Daniel. In the second chapter, we find that Daniel had a dream about kingdoms. And then that those four kingdoms were replaced by a fifth kingdom. He was a man who was a seer. He was a man who was able to interpret. A man who was used mightily of God. And in that gift, he found favor. In the third chapter in Daniel, we find the story about the three Hebrew boys, Daniel's three friends who were in the fiery furnace. We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These were also people who had to deal with an adversary and had to deal with fire because of folks, because they wouldn't bow down, because they wouldn't just give up and turn as everybody else had turned. In the fourth chapter of the book of Daniel, Daniel interpreted a dream for King Nebuchadnezzar. And again, because of his gift, he's able to find favor. In the fifth chapter of Daniel, Daniel interprets a handwriting on the wall for Belshazzar. And now in the sixth chapter, Daniel's in the lion's den. All because of an enemy. In this chapter, Daniel is raised to a high office by the king. The Bible calls him his royal master, Darius the Mede. And Daniel's jealous rivals tricked the king into issuing a decree that for 30 days, no prayers can be made to any god or to any man except Darius himself. They got in Darius's head. And then they had him to agree that anybody who breaks this law or breaks this edict or this new rule that's set by the government is thrown to the lions. Now, of course, they want Daniel thrown to the lions because they are sick of Daniel. They're jealous. So what does Daniel do? He does what he's always done. He remains faithful. Daniel continues to pray to God. And the king, although it's stressful to him, he pretty much can't do anything about it because he's placed this rule. He set up this rule. He's agreed that we're not changing the rule. So here it is that Daniel becomes victim to this new rule. He becomes victim to his accusers because they sat back and waited. And that's what they do. They sit back and wait. Wait and watch, trying to find something for you to do wrong. So here it is, the rule can't be changed. So Daniel gets thrown into the lion's den. And then at daybreak, King Darius runs back down to check on Daniel because he was hoping that Daniel's God would deliver him. He liked Daniel. So he runs back down to check on Daniel and calls out to Daniel. And sure enough, Daniel replies. And he lets him know that God had sent an angel to close the jaws of the lion because Daniel knew that he was blameless. So what the king did was to now take those accusers, their wives and their children, and threw them into the lion's den. And then he commanded the rest of the world, the rest of the people, the God you need to be serving is Daniel's God, because he knows now for sure that Daniel's God will deliver. He knows that Daniel's God is faithful. He knows that Daniel's God is bigger than anything or anybody else that they ever could have served. The king knows it. And now the other people have no choice. See, this setback was a setup for a comeback. You have to know that even when you are obeying God and you are doing the right things, that negative things can happen to you, just like Daniel. This was a man who was simply doing his job well. He was serving God. He was obedient, getting ready to get another promotion. He's doing the right things. So we have to know that first and foremost, that when things happen to us, it's not always because we've messed up. Romans 8 says that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. Even when there's an accusation against you, it's still going to work together for your good. Even when they lie on you and mistreat you, it is still going to work together for your good. even when they misuse you and try to interfere with where God is taking you, it is still going to work together for your good. We all go through seasons. And a lot of times we look at people because they're going through something and we just assume because they have some tribulations, oh, they must have done something wrong. But see, the Bible says that tribulation worketh patience, and patience works experience. Experience works hope. It works all those things out in us. What or whom are we hoping in? Well, guess what? If you never had a problem, you wouldn't know that God could solve them. If there was never anything wrong, you would know that he can deliver. If you never got sick, you wouldn't know he was a healer. It would just be what you heard other people talking about. So since I serve a great big God, I know he's got it under control. We have to know that God's got us no matter what. So now ask yourself, am I going to remain the same when I go through like Daniel? Ask yourself, can God trust you to be an example? We have to remember, it's not about us. It's not about you. All of the things that you are dealing with, all of the things that you may be going through, all of the things that you may be up against, it's all for the glory of God. Because what ends up happening is just like with Daniel. You're going to come out on the end better off. And people will see that the God you serve is a deliverer. People will see that the God that you serve is a restorer. People will see that the God that you serve is a healer. All of this is for the glory of God. You just have to know how to go through it. Look at Job. With all that Job went through with his health, with losing his wealth, with losing his family, because he was a righteous man and God could trust him, it was important how he went through what he went through. Sometimes we start thinking that we're not supposed to go through anything. But if you recall, after Job got done going through, guess what happened? God gave him double for his trouble. In chapter 42, Job prayed for those same friends that were saying negative things. Job prayed for those same friends who were saying, Job, you must have done something. I know you say you're a righteous man, but you must have done something. Look at all you're going through, Job. No. Chapter 42, he prayed for those people, and God gave him double for his trouble. If you're looking death in the face, if you've got some lions that you're dealing with, if you've got some so-called friends who are looking at you saying, oh, you must have done something. I don't know. You may have some blessings on the way. Job got doubles for his trouble. Everything that he went through. A lot of times, just like with Job, the enemy will go to God and make accusations. He'll accuse you, just like he did with Job, and say, well, you know, she's only serving you because you blessed her with that house. Now you know she's only serving you because you gave her that car. You know he's only obeying you right now because you gave him that new job. He'll be right back out on Sundays watching football and not paying any attention to you. He won't be at church. I bet he doesn't even really love you. He's just using you, God. I bet he won't serve you if you take his health. I bet if she loses this child, she won't come to church no more. I bet if his wife leaves him, he'll give up on you. I bet if his job lays him off, he won't be in church anymore. And then some accusations are different. I bet he won't go to church if things are going well. He don't remember you when things are going well. Or she only prays and reads her Bible when things are bad. She only prays and reads her Bible when she can't pay her rent. I bet he won't make time to pray if you stop blessing him. I I bet he won't pay his tithes when he gets this new job. He paid when he wasn't making much money, but now he's making twice as much. I bet you he won't pay his tithes. I bet you she won't come to church if she got a new man. God, you don't need to bless her. She don't really love you. See, Daniel was anointed and one of God's chosen. And he had already made up in his mind, no matter what, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation, I don't care what you say, I know that God is faithful. So you're not going to stop me from praying. You're not going to stop me from serving God. He had decided that even when folks are out to get him, even when they lie on me, even when the folks at work are jealous because you're continuing to be elevated, even in the pit with the lions, Daniel knew how to pray. And he trusted God for deliverance, no matter what it looked like, no matter what it felt like. Can God trust you when you're not getting what you want? Can God trust you when you have a house full of stuff? Will you remain the same with or without the things? Will you remain the same with or without a man? Will you remain the same whether they let you preach at church or whether they don't? Will you remain the same if nobody acknowledges the pound cake that you bought to the church? Well, I don't know. I'm always bringing my pound cake and they don't even never say thank you. Will you remain the same when people look over you, ignore you, don't pay you any attention? Are you still going to be at church talking about the goodness of God if you don't have any money? See, Daniel is yet more proof that God is faithful. He's faithful. God is faithful even when we're not. And I often say that because many times we don't do the things that we're supposed to do. But he continues to wake us up. He continues to bless us. He continues to keep us. He continues to keep his own word. He's faithful even when we're not. So we need to be lion-proof. Even in the face of our enemies, are you lion-proof right now? Do you trust God no matter what? Are you confident that he will deliver you even when things look bleak? Even when things look dim? Even when you may not know how you're going to get out of this situation? If you're looking death in the face, just like Daniel did, are you going to pray and trust God? Or are you going to just give up and go home and prepare to die? When the doctor comes in and gives you a negative test result and says you're not going to make it, this illness is in your body and you have less than a year to live, are you going to go home and tell everybody, well, I ain't got but a year, so forget paying these bills? Are you going to go home and cry? Are you going to go home and just give up? Or can you stand in the face of your lion, in the face of death? Can you stand in faith on the word of God and declare and decree, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord? I'm not going anywhere. I'm healed in Jesus' name. Is that still your confession? Know that when God gets ready to make a change in your life, just like Daniel, oftentimes there's a setup. Now, sometimes we call them setbacks, but what it really is a setup. Oftentimes, God will give us kingdom connections. And in this case, Daniel's connection for his elevation was King Darius, because King Darius had been paying attention to the type of man that Daniel was. It was needful for Daniel that he go through this. It was needful for his enemies that he go through this. It was needful for the other people who were watching. It was needful for the king. It was needful that they see that it doesn't matter how it looks, It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what it feels like at the time. Because your flesh will tell you, oh, give up. It's over. Forget it. I've done all I can. I continue to try to work for the kingdom. I continue to try to do this and I continue to do that. We'll start rehearsing all the wonderful things that we think we do. But no matter how it looks, we have to know that God will deliver. It doesn't matter what's going on. In Psalm number 37, the Bible says that nothing just happens. It says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And because your steps are already ordered and God knows the end from the beginning, your job is simply to trust him no matter what. No matter how fear may try to hinder you, no matter how much these lions or your enemies may growl, no matter what you're facing, your job is simply to trust God. And his job is to take care of the rest. It's not your job to try to take care of it. It's not your job to try to deal with those enemies. Your job is just to trust God. He's got this. He's doing his job, so you just do yours. All you need to know is that your setback is a setup for your comeback. Your sickness is not unto death. Losing your job will not take you out. Know that if you lose a job, God's got one better for you. The next one will be with less stress and more money. Know that if you went through a divorce, this divorce will not kill you. God got somebody that's looking for exactly what you're looking for. Just sitting back waiting on you. God's got a plan for you. Don't think that just because you're going through something, this was just some kind of a mishap. No, your steps are already ordered by God. And so because your steps are already ordered, all you have to do is just follow. All you have to do is simply obey. All you have to do is maintain. Know what God has called you to do. All you need to know is, okay, Lord, you told me to do this. I'm doing what you told me to do. So therefore, because I lost a loved one, I'm going to remain faithful. It might hurt. I might be upset. I'm going to miss them. But I can't stop doing what it is that you've called me to do. I can't stop being who it is that you've said I am. It's not going to kill me. There are some things that I need to do. And now I have the time to do them. Now I have the time to discover what it is that you've told me I'm supposed to do. There are some things that you probably never even thought about before. And you now have time to do those things. You now have time for ministry. You now have time to visit the sick. You now have time to work with your hands. You now have time to start your business or write that book that God gave you a vision about years ago. This is just a setup for your comeback. After this, your anointing will be like never before. After this, you'll be promoted and have job opportunities that you never had before. After this, just because you remained faithful in your lion's den, God is going to elevate you. And for some people, your lion's den may be sickness. For somebody else, it may be bankruptcy. Whatever your lion's den is, you just need to remain faithful. Don't go astray. Don't give up. Whatever your lion's den is, know that it only looks like it could kill you, but God has it under control. Your enemies think you're through, but God has it under control. Those jealous folks you work with who are mad at you because you don't fall apart every time something happens, they can't figure out why you don't sweat. Well, I don't have to sweat when we're having an inspection because God is on my side. I don't have to become discombobulated and confused and running around looking crazy. I'm not arrogant. I just don't worry about it because God is on my side. Those folks who are jealous because they can see that you're getting ready to be promoted again and they are sick of you because they don't know how you do what you do. They want to see you in a pit. They want to see you in a lion's den. They want to see you give up. But when they're saying pit, God is saying promotion. They want to see you separated from the job, but God is saying set up for a comeback. They want to see you fired, but God is saying no. Instead, I'm saying financial blessing. They want you to throw in the towel. They're saying no, she needs to be suspended. But God is saying no, I'm going to make you a supervisor. They want to see you in the poorhouse, but God is going to take you to the palace. They want to see you give up, but God is saying, no, you're going to get a pay raise. They want to see you tap out, but God is saying, no, you're going to get tapped for a new position that they know nothing about. All of this is a setup for your comeback. So let them keep trying to set you up. Sit back and watch God make your enemies your footstool every single time. Just like with Daniel, those same folks that try to set you up, every ditch they try to dig for you ends up being for them. This is a setup for a divine connection. All you have to do is remain faithful. And I know that you get tired. I know it's worrisome having to explain yourself all the time. I know they keep trying to find fault in you. But I'm telling you, just like Daniel did, you just pray. You trust God. You let God deal with those lions. And now there are some lessons that we learned from Daniel. Daniel has some characteristics that are worth noting. So let's look at a couple of things. We're going to talk today about being focused, about being fearless, being faithful, being fruitful. We're going to talk about favor, and then there is the grand finale. One of the things that happens a lot of times is that we lose focus because we're dealing with something, we're going through something. But you have to remember to keep your eyes on God. You have to continue to trust Him through adversity. You don't have to compromise. You don't have to change your confession. You don't even have to condemn those jealous folks. I know they wish they could take your spot, but all you have to do is stand firm. Galatians 5 says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, why do you think that is? Because when you lose focus on God, you end up bound. Stand fast in your liberty. Don't take your eyes off God and focus on the mess. Don't end up bound and distracted and confused. And now here you are more concerned about the foolishness with the folks around you, and you're not focused on God. Ephesians 6 and 13 says that you put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. That means that sometimes you're going to have to go through stuff. But having done all, just stand. That means that because you have on the helmet of salvation, your head is covered and you're focused on kingdom business. Your heart is protected because you put on that breastplate of righteousness, and you won't become wounded and take it personal or look at the person who's doing the act, but see that they're just being used by the enemy. Just like an old dirty dish rag. They're being used. They don't even know it. This means that you have your weapon, which is a sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, so that every time you're under attack, you can apply Scripture. You got to apply the Word for every situation. And then you speak faith in the face of your adversary. This means that your loins are girded or covered with the gospel of truth. Truth is the word of God. And you know that the word of God will always stand. So this also means that your feet are covered with the gospel of peace. This is just a part of your armor. What does it mean when your feet are covered with the gospel of peace? It means you're not running to mess and foolishness, but you're planted firmly. You're not swaying every time a wind comes along. You're not going to change your mind about God and quit going to church because you're dealing with some things. But because you're firmly planted and not swaying, you're at peace. People can't even understand why you have so much peace. They've thrown everything at you but the kitchen sink. But you can boldly say, the peace of God surpasses all understanding. This is why you can keep your mind on Jesus, even in the midst of the storm. Stay focused. How are you going to do that? Because you know your help comes from God. You know who your help comes from. You can sit back and say, oh no, I'm focused on God. I'm keeping my eyes on the prize. That's what you're pressing for. The prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. You're pressing for that prize. It's not about people. You don't have to try to impress people. You don't have to fall apart because they came at you with some bad news. You never fall apart because they tried to threaten you. People will smile in your face one day and not know you tomorrow. People will flip-flop on you. But you remember who you are, and you remember whose you are. You don't have to act like them. You don't have to bow down to their idols and start acting like them or behaving like them. They can come with bad news all day long. All of a sudden, you're just going to get scared? Oh, no, the devil is a lie. You serve a true and living God. That job is your resource. But God is your source. Your mate is your companion. I don't care if he's acting crazy. He's not your God. Those children are a blessing from God. They're not your master. You keep your focus on God. I don't care what they're doing. I don't care what they're saying. I don't care what the threat is. Keep your focus on God, even as it pertains to ministry. For some of you preachers who are listening, this is God's ministry. It was never yours, and it was never about you. You don't run anything, and I don't care what your title is. It's not about a title. This is all about God. So never get so caught up and so busy doing what you call the work of the Lord that you forget about the Lord of the work. You've got to keep your focus. The next thing we learn from Daniel is to stay fearless. Some people are physically and mentally ill right now from worry. Some of you are worried and stressed right now who are under the sound of my voice. You're so worried that you can't even focus. But know that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Worry is just another word for fear. You're walking around scared. You're scared of what will happen if this and that. Don't you know that fear paralyzes you? You have to know that God has already defeated the enemy. So there's nothing that the enemy can do without God's permission. You are victorious in Jesus. The devil is under your feet. You have the authority over the enemy. God gave it to you. So stop giving him power by always talking about how busy the devil is. Talk about the power of God. Talk about victory in Jesus. Talk about the goodness of God. Do you know who you are? You're a child of the King. You're a King's kid. You are the righteousness of God. You are God's elect. You are chosen. You are called. You are the head and not the tail. You are blessed and highly favored. Do you know who you are? Scared of what? Scared of who? Miracles, signs, and wonders follow me. The power of death and life is in my tongue. Do you know that you can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover? That's the word of God. You have the keys to the kingdom. You just have to use them. What's the point of having keys if you don't use them? What are the keys to the kingdom? Well, Jesus gave them to you. He said that you can bind and loose things in the earth, and they are also loosed in heaven. So you need to use your authority. You need to know who you are. Afraid of what? Worried about what? Oh, no. Not when you know who you are. Not when God has already shown you that you have victory. You need to be like Daniel, even in the face of your enemies. You got to be lion proof. What is the next characteristic that we learn from Daniel? We learn to stay faithful. You don't have to sway. God has a plan for your life. You don't have to switch teams. You don't have to decide, oh, well, you know, this Christianity thing ain't working out. I think I'm going to be a Buddhist this month. Then that ain't working out. Whoop, I'm going to be a Muslim now. You don't have to switch teams. God is faithful. Are you? So that means don't stop tithing now. Money might be tight. But when you give God his 10%, he'll make sure to bless your 90%. It all belongs to him anyway. If it wasn't for him, you wouldn't even have it. So you don't give up on God now. Don't stop praying. Don't give up and decide you ain't going to church anymore. If you are faithful, even in the midst of the storm, if you just hang in there, when you look up and the storm is over, you'll realize it only pushed you closer to your destiny. Think about the disciples when they were in the midst of the storm and they looked up and saw Jesus walking across the water. He was there all the time. He saw them even when they couldn't see him. You might be in the midst of your storm, but know that God sees you. Don't give up and don't give in. You keep hanging in there. You keep paddling. But know that God is guiding you right to where he wants you to be. It's his plan to get you to your destiny. So don't think that because there's a storm, there is not a shore on the other side. It just looks like it right now and you can't see it. It might be raining pretty heavy in your life. But once the storm clears up, you'll realize you are still on track to where God wants you to be. All of a sudden, you're going to look up, just like the disciples, and you're right smack dab in the face of your destiny. The other thing that we learned from Daniel is to stay fruitful. Continue to be productive. You have got to produce. If you think about being productive as fruit, then you can't help but to think of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control. Yes, you still have to do all those things when you're going through. You still have to love. You can't just all of a sudden become grouchy and figure everybody else should understand because you're dealing with something. No, you still have to sow love. You still have to have joy. You still got to walk around and be at peace. You still have to plant good seeds. You can't all of a sudden become weary and well-doing because the Bible says, be not weary and well-doing. For in due season, you will reap if you faint not. Every seed that you've sown is still going to come up. You just can't give up. Sometimes when things are not going well, I know we have a tendency to want to quit. We have a tendency to want to throw in the towel. We have a tendency to not speak faith, and we'll talk about the circumstance. During those rough times, you do want to quit sometimes. I'm not fixing to be all sanctimonious and deep and tell you that I've never had a time where I wanted to quit. But what I can tell you is it has been worth it that I didn't. Somebody's situation can change because they are paying attention to how you go through. Somebody is watching you, Job. to see if you're just going to curse God and die like Job's wife told him to do. Somebody is watching to see how you respond to your lying wife or your cheating husband. So they know how to deal with theirs. Somebody is watching how you talk to your boss when you're taking correction to see if you're going to fly off the handle. Somebody is learning from you. Somebody's listening to how you speak faith when you're sick, preachers. Because a lot of times, you can stand there and tell somebody else what to do, but you might not be doing that thing yourself. You always up telling somebody else, oh, speak faith, speak faith. But when it's your turn, you're not. Always remember to maintain. Always remember to continue to produce. Somebody heard you say that you're having problems with your money. And they're waiting to see, are you still going to pay your tithes? No, you can't quit now. Daniel continued to pray and to trust God no matter what. He knew that God was faithful no matter what. So in times like these, I wouldn't just continue to be on the same level in my productivity. I'm going to give more. When I have a need, I sow a seed. This is the time that I'm going to give more. This is the time that I'm going to pray even more. The devil thought he was going to make me quit. This is the time I'm going to visit the sick more. This is the time I'm going to sow more love. I'm going to sow more joy. This is the time I'm going to read my word even more. You thought you was going to make me quit. All you did was make me move forward. Read more. Stand more. You can't quit now. You are living testimony. And somebody else can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. So you make sure you stay in the race and don't throw in the towel. Somebody's watching you. Your children are watching you. Your family members are watching you. Some folks at church are watching you. They're trying to see if you're just talking about it or if you're going to be about it. Don't throw in the towel. I know you're right on the edge, and what they did to you was not fair. But we've all been lied on. We've all been talked about. We've all been mistreated. So you cannot quit. You stay fruitful. You sow more seeds. You give more. Love more, do more, be more. You keep working. You keep believing. You keep hoping. It's important that you stay fruitful during this season. So what's the next thing that we learn from Daniel? After we stay fruitful, we're going to stay in favor. Daniel already had the favor of God. When you have favor, you have a special regard. You have some special benefits. You have some special approval. It's an abundance of unmerited grace and the mercy of God. God favors you. Now, favor can be material. It can be financial. It can simply be undeserved kindness of God, because God is sovereign and he blesses you how he wants to, when he wants to. But he does it with intention, and we serve an intentional God. In the book of Ruth, Ruth could have just quit because things weren't going well. She had to go out in the field and work because her husband had died. She's falling behind her mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law's become bitter, so that means she's probably not saying a whole lot that's positive at the moment. But Ruth stayed in favor. She didn't even realize that favor was on her radar. She was just doing the things she needed to do. Do you know that favor is on your radar? Ruth was right there on the edge of a blessing. And even while she was faithful in working in the fields, she was getting blessings on the way. See, the Bible says the faith that race is not given to the swift or the strong, but it's given to the one who endures. You just need to endure. You just need to hang in there. Ruth went from working in the field to marrying the man who owned the field to being the great-grandma of King David, which put her in the lineage of our King Jesus. Talk about favor. She could have given up. She could have said, oh, well, I'm tired of this, and I'm not finna be out in the field sweating, bent all over, picking up nothing. She could have become bitter like her mother-in-law. After all, she gone through a whole lot of stuff, right? She could have just given up. No, she remained in favor. She might not have had a good background. She might not have had anybody to rely on. Like I said, her husband was dead. But favor comes from obedience. You just continue to obey God. Even while she was out there working in the field with the little bit that she had, she gave to her mother-in-law, Naomi, and continued to be obedient and working. She still looked out for her mother-in-law. If you're not willing to do anything, what do you have to sow? Ruth still sowed the little bit that she had. She still was making sacrifices. What do you have to put in the ground to sow if you're not going to do anything? You have to put something in the ground for it to manifest. The Bible says faith without works is dead. So now remember, you can't wish your way into favor. Favor comes through obedience. As you are obeying God, he makes sure to take care of you and gives you some little extra blessings along the way like he did with Ruth. Now the grand finale for Daniel. And there is going to be a grand finale for you too. Daniel was in the midst of all these jealous people, and God was moving on his behalf, as we know. He stood out among his peers. He was obedient, and the favor of God was on his life. Everything these folks tried didn't work. They even tried to kill him. But see, people better be careful, because when they come against the children of God, the same traps that they set for you can cause their own demise. Those same people and those their families also, their children and their wives, got thrown into the lion's den, and they were killed. All the remnants of them were gone. So now this lets you know that Daniel wasn't spared because the lions just weren't hungry. Some people say, oh, well, you know, the lions didn't have any teeth. Oh, no, that's not true. We know that they were real lions. We know that they were hungry lions, and we know that they had teeth because they killed those same people who were trying to get Daniel. Why is it that you don't have to worry about your enemies? Because God is faithful. The grand finale is this. God will never leave you nor forsake you. Whether you're up on a mountain or you're down in a valley, God is right there. You just remain obedient. He's going to take care of your enemies. You don't have to worry about them. You don't have to focus on them. And everything that's attached to them will be gone as well. All remnants of everything they tried to do to you will be gone. God didn't just take care of his enemies, but he continued to elevate and to prosper Daniel. You just focus on God. He's got you. Daniel's faith caused the king to make new ordinances or new rules that everybody now prays to the true and living God. God opened some doors for Daniel, and he will do just the same for you. God was right there all the time. He never left him. He rewarded him. He protected him. He shielded Daniel. And he will do the same for you. Who wouldn't serve a God like this? It seemed like in a situation like this, he should have just given up and thrown in the towel, right? Oh, no. It looked like this man of faith was done. Oh, no. It seemed like there might not even be a reward for serving God. Oh, the devil is a lie. It pays to serve the true and living God. He'll make a way out of no way. He'll elevate you in the midst of your enemies. He'll protect you, shield you, and cover you when it seems like there's no way out. He will make your enemy your footstool. He'll create a position for you if there's not one right now. He'll give you favor with people. He will answer your prayer. He is the true and living God. I don't care what it looks like, and I don't care what it feels like. God is right there when you need him. If you have not made the Lord Jesus your personal Savior, today is your day. You don't have to wait. Right here, right now, repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you died and were resurrected for my sins so that I might have life. Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me and make me whole. I now accept you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for joining us on today. If you'd like to donate to Campbell Ministries, you may do so at P.O. Box 16214, Jackson, Mississippi, 39236, or you may simply go to my website, campbellministries.com, and click on the donate button and give there. If you are in need of career readiness and career relevance trainings for your community or for your church and you are a pastor, you may contact me via email. That email address is acampbell681@ymail.com. If you are looking for a church home and you're in the Jackson, Mississippi area, please stop by the Wordful Gospel Baptist Church at 3023 Percy V. Simpson Drive. The Word is a mighty good place to serve the Lord. Thank you so much for joining. God bless you. Until next time, keep pressing. Oh,